This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Boston's Olympics bid is dead.
I think the USOC is thinking that it would be a difficult and expensive venture to go forward with not much chance of success.
After months in peril and low poll numbers, this afternoon the United States Olympics Committee withdrew its support for the city's Olympics bid.
This is the greatest news we could have gotten today. The last thing we need is a just terribly corrupt, huge organization dictating the terms for us.
Yeah, I could not disagree more. The Olympics would be an amazing thing to go see. I want it to happen here, and now it's gone.
One of the things I like about living in Massachusetts is we do have loud and robust policy and political debates on stuff like this.
We'll have the debate with experts and with you. That's coming up this hour on Radio Boston. First, the news. Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we've got huge breaking news this hour. The United States Olympic Committee is ending its support for Boston's Olympics bid. That according to a source close to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. The city's bid has been in peril for months, and earlier today Walsh said that the USOC was pressuring him to sign a host city contract, but the mayor said it was too early in the process for him to commit to that.
We have met every demand and every challenge, but I cannot commit to putting the taxpayers at risk. If committing to signing a guarantee today is what's required to move forward, then Boston is no longer pursuing the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games.
That was Mayor Marty Walsh earlier today. And again, this afternoon, the breaking news, sources say the USOC will no longer support Boston's bid for the Games. Joining us now is WBUR business and technology reporter Kurt Nikke. She's been covering this story for us. Hi there, Kurt.
Hey, Meghna.
Also with us, Mark Arsenault, Boston Globe reporter. Hi there, Mark.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Mark, let's first start with you. You've been speaking to sources at the USOC. What have they been telling you?
It's over. There will be no Boston Olympics. What's happening now is a statement just came out wrapping this up. Sure, there'll be plenty of sunsetting discussions that we'll have to follow, but the USOC and Boston 2024 have come to a mutual agreement to end Boston's pursuit of the 2024 Summer Games.
And did they say why?
Low public support. Low public support. I think public support has been the Achilles heel of the Boston bid for months, really going back to probably February when it first started falling. Never really rebounded. Boston 2024 came out with their new venue plan at the end of June, which did not substantially move the numbers. So at this time, the bid is done.
The bid is done. So, I mean, the low public support just made the USOC convinced that there was no way that Boston 2024 could turn things around?
Well, so far, they came out with their new bid plan. This was supposed to be the thing that they were going to sell going forward. It's been a year now that Boston's been discussing the Olympics seriously, pretty much as a daily topic of public debate since Boston was named one of the four finalist cities by the USOC. And if support is not there yet, I think the USOC is thinking it would be a difficult and expensive venture to go forward with not much chance for success.
Okay, so what does that mean now? I mean, you said that the conversation is sort of how to sunset this whole thing, meaning what?
Meaning, I mean, they'll figure out, the USOC needs to figure out what to do next. Do they intend to have another bidder? Do they intend to go to LA, which would probably be the city that's most prepared to step in on short notice? As they've hosted two times and they bid pretty much every time the Summer Games are available, it seems, they probably would be the city most likely to represent the United States should a bid go forward. If not, then USOC will have to sit out this cycle as they've sat out the last three Olympic cycles and look ahead to the Winter Games of 2026 or the Summer Games of 2028.
So, Mark, you've been covering this for quite some time. I mean, obviously, there has been this steady drumbeat. There's been debate. There's been poll after poll. There's been all this conversation about whether or not the city would be on the hook for cost overruns, et cetera. Lots of discussion about Boston and its hosting of the Olympic Games. And yet, And yet it feels like this has just come out of the blue from the USOC.
Well, we reported on Sunday that they were pressuring Mayor Marty Walsh to sign or agree to sign the host city agreement, which, you know, essentially sets up the taxpayers as the final backstop should organizers run out of private funds to put on the games. And the mayor pushed back on that. I think his press conference this morning showed how that relationship had deteriorated. So it really didn't come out of the blue. I mean, again, I think that the bid has been in peril for months due to low poll numbers, and it was sort of thought before the board's June quarterly meeting that they could yank the Boston bid. In fact, some National Olympic writers had urged them to do so. Boston 2024 survived that meeting, but it ends today.
Well, that's Boston Globe reporter Mark Arsenault reporting to us on the fact that the USOC has pulled the plug on its support for Olympic Games in the city of Boston in 2024. Mark, thanks so much. And listeners, what do you think? This is big breaking news now. As you heard Mark tell us, again, the USOC is pulling the plug on its support for Boston 2024. It's over, as one USOC member told Mark. What's your reaction? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Give us a call. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Let's turn back now to WBUR's reporter Kurt Nikisch here, who's here in the studio with me. Kurt, what more do we know?
Well, I think Mark's right about all of that. This bid was in peril for a long time. The USOC did warn Boston 2024 at its June 30th board meeting that it needs to get poll numbers up, public support numbers up relatively soon. They didn't give hard numbers as a benchmark. They didn't give a specific deadline, but it was clear that they wanted some movement on this. And really, you haven't seen very much movement from Boston 2024 in the meantime. They held a debate last week. They put out an insurance plan. These are all things that in some ways only elevated the opposition because it gave the opposition a voice at the debate. Talking about their insurance plan just heightened awareness that, you know, the Olympics could go over budget. So who's going to pay for that? So it was all negative news, really, for the Olympics. It wasn't very exciting conversation. And so I think you can't blame the USOC at this point for just not seeing what they want to see.
Right. So tell us a little bit more about what Mayor Walsh said this morning, right? Because the big question about whether or not the city was going to be willing to be on the financial hook was what he addressed head on. What did the mayor say?
Yeah. So the mayor said that he's just not ready to commit to sign this taxpayer agreement. So the so-called taxpayer guarantee that if the Olympics goes over budget, that the public would pay for it. And that is a natural thing. That is customary in almost all Olympics bids. Like, LA didn't have to sign it back in 1984. But really, like, if you go for the Olympics and you're putting on this big operation and the International Olympic Committee is letting a local group, Boston 2024, run the whole show, they're saying, we don't want to have to pay for it if you guys go over budget. And so cities say, okay, we're going to watch this and we're going to make sure they don't. And if they do, we're going to pay. And so basically cities always do this. But this is what opponents, especially the opposition group No Boston Olympics, have really focused on. They've just said, you know, taxpayer money should not be paid for the Olympics. And so this has been sort of the source of public debate in Boston, in a city that saw the Big Dig go way over budget and they got stuck with the bill, right? And so this is a situation where what other cities are glad to do, Boston just wasn't glad to do. And so the mayor said he wasn't ready to do it at this point, but, you know, he may have seen the writing on the wall that this was going down and just tried to have a little show of defiance to the USOC and show that he's loyal to Boston voters for something that was going to happen anyway.
Right. I'm seeing a statement here from Mayor Walsh. She says, I strongly believe that bringing the Olympic Games back to the United States would be good for our country and would have brought long-term benefits to Boston. However, no benefit is so great that it is worth handing over the financial future of our city and our citizens were rightly hesitant to be supportive as a result. That from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Listeners, I'm speaking with Kurt Nikisch, WBR's business and technology and Olympics reporter on the breaking news this hour that the United States Olympics Committee has withdrawn its support for Boston's bid for the 2024 Olympic Games. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. With your thoughts on this major change in the story of Boston 2024, let's take a caller here. Peter's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Peter.
Hello. well, the thing that I'm very happy he did this, and in fact, I just called his office and left the same message I'm going to leave with you. The thing that really troubled me is that Boston has been said to be one of the more unequal cities, and you know, in terms of inequality, and this just seemed to me to exacerbate it tremendously. You know, where you have this great lavish show, and all the people fly in, and the money goes flying around as it always does. But where would poor people be? I mean, we have poor and marginalized citizens who are no more worthy than I or you or anyone else. And it was just, I looked at it and I just blanched. I thought, there's just no place for them. They'll stand there and feel utterly left out and bereft.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much for your call there. That's one response on the news this hour. We're getting a lot of other responses also on Twitter. Angel Woods said she loved the idea of Boston 2024 until actuality set in, money grabs and misery, so mismanaged from the start. Tommy Karen Mayer said, it's all lemons to lemonade. Let's all work together to do the infrastructure, transportation, and housing work Metro Boston needs done. Sam Aquiano, if I pronounce your name correctly, Sam, says, I can't help but be a little sad about Boston 2024. The Olympics is a moonshot, and Boston is a city in need of a moonshot. Again, we're talking about the USOC's decision to pull the plug on Boston 2024. I'm joined by WBUR's business and technology reporter Kurt Nickisch. Joining us now in the conversation is Shira Springer. She's investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe's sports section. She had a piece in the Globe this weekend about everything that went wrong with Boston 2024's bid. Shira, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So can you give us your quick response first on this news this hour that it's over?
I think it's the right call for all involved. This was a bid that was going nowhere, and everybody saw the writing on the wall, finally. I'm actually a bit surprised that it took this long. Kurt and I were both out at the Redwood City meeting on June 30th, and while we didn't think that they would make an announcement about pulling the bid then, it did seem quite tenuous, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it seemed like all sides were simply prolonging the inevitable. The version 2.0 was not gaining traction in the polls or elsewhere. There were more questions than answers with that second version, and it seemed like the opposition was gaining momentum instead. So no surprise that this happened now. I think the timing was also critical because there is a major, major meeting of the IOC in Kuala Lumpur this week, and the USOC simply felt they couldn't go forward unless they had some guarantees from both the mayor and the governor, and when they realized they couldn't strong-arm the mayor and the governor into those guarantees before they went to the meeting, it was a no-go.
Right. Shira, stand by for a second. Kurt, you wanted to mention something about the IOC meeting.
Yeah, I think this is a really key point because right now the International Olympic Committee and all its 100-plus members are focusing on the 2022 Winter Games and who wins that. They're going to decide that in a few days. So right now all the attention in the International Olympic movement is on another race. So Boston 2024... By dumping Boston now, the USOC is able to move forward with the city and sort of maybe embarrass itself at a time when not as many people in are watching, at a time when it's really critical. So if they do want to move forward with another city, it was better to do it before this meeting than afterwards, when all the attention would have turned to the 2024 race.
Now, yeah, they were days away from the attention turning to Boston.
Right. So, Shira, tell me in a little bit more detail of sort of what you outlined in your Globe piece. Obviously, public opinion took center stage here and was really one of the driving factors behind the decision that the USOC just made this afternoon. But, you know, beyond that, what do you think were like one or two of the top things that just really were mishandled by Boston 2024 that got them to this point?
It was actually a piece for NPR's Only a Game, but I can give you the outline of it. First of all, it was tone from the outset, the way that Boston began selling this bid. It was just the absolute wrong tone. And I think people here took umbrage to the fact that they were watching a privately funded group of multimillionaires dictate the future of the city. And the bid committee did really nothing to dissuade them of that fact, and they were late in bringing the public into the conversation. Now, I know the USOC had asked all of the big cities, and that included L.A., Washington, and San Francisco, in addition to Boston, to keep quiet, to keep it on the down low, so to speak, before they made the formal announcement about the bid going forward and what bid city they were choosing. But it wasn't the right move, because people here needed to be made aware of the bid and all that it entailed prior to winning the bid, because the bid announcement on, I think it was January 8th, came as a bit of a shock, and then it was a scramble for the public saying, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And then also there was the transparency issue.
Right.
For all of the issue, you know, for all of the promises of transparency, the big fumble they made, you know, when they said no taxpayer, no taxpayer money, no taxpayer money, and then to find out in the original bid documents that was not the case, another big misstep. And I think also their dismissiveness, the bid committee's initial dismissiveness of the opposition as a very small group, and not really taking that seriously, was another big issue.
Yeah.
And I think
Shira, I'm sorry to jump in there, but just hang on for a second, and Kurt, stand by for a moment, because I'm seeing a statement here from Scott Blackmon, who is the CEO of the U.S. Olympic Committee. And he said that during our telephonic meeting today, the board was briefed on recent discussions with the governor, Charlie Baker, the mayor, and Boston 2024, Steve Pagliuca. They also took the opportunity to consider remarks made by the mayor at his press conference earlier today. And then Scott Blackmon goes on to write in the statement, when Boston was selected in January of this year, we were excited about the possibility of partnering with Boston's great universities in a bid that would take advantage of existing college facilities and spur the development of much needed sport, transportation, residential infrastructure for the city of Boston. Then it goes on to say, again, this is Scott Blackmon's statement, CEO of the USOC, notwithstanding the promise of the original vision for the bid and the soundness of the plan developed under Steve Pagliuca, we have not been able to get a majority of the citizens of Boston to support hosting the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games. Therefore, the USOC does not think that the level of support enjoyed by Boston's bid would allow it to prevail over great bids from Paris, Rome, Hamburg, Budapest, or Toronto. Kurt, your response to that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. This was going to be a long, long row to hoe, because they were going to have to face this referendum in November of next year. And basically, while the USOC is trying to push Boston and say that it can do a better job than Rome or Paris could hosting the Summer Games, they were also going to have the first question they were going to be asked was, what about that referendum? What about the public support? And they were going to have to deal with that. And they just weren't able to move those numbers. And so it was just terribly not very promising. Now, they could have moved forward with Boston and then let the referendum pull Boston out, because that still would have been held ahead of the time that the International Olympic Committee would have had to have chosen a city. But they would have spent a lot of money trying to push Boston forward with a ton of risk that Bostonians wouldn't go along. And so it was just easier for them to pull out now.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, we are talking about the breaking news this afternoon that the United States Olympic Committee has withdrawn its support for the Olympic Games in Boston in 2024, effectively rendering dead the Boston 2024's bid for the Olympic Games. I'm speaking with WBUR business and technology reporter Kurt Nikisch and with Shira Springer, investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe sports section. You can send us a tweet with your reaction at Radio Boston, and we're getting some tweets in here. Ksenia says, let's also keep in mind that the Olympics originally sold as the Walking Olympics was no longer the product being pushed. That's one response from listeners out there. Again, you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston or call us at 800-423-8255 with your reaction. Let's go now to Los Angeles, which, if the USOC does put forward a city now in replacement to Boston, it might be L.A. Alan Abrahamson is a veteran Olympics reporter and founder of ThreeWireSports.com. He joins us from L.A. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
So, in a way, you kind of saw this coming last time we saw this, last time we talked to you. What's your reaction to what's just happened?
Thank God the Wicked Witch is dead. I mean, look, this is a bad bid, and the only mystery to me is why this took so long. Really, it's the only mystery.
I mean, there's not more than a little bit of we told you so coming out from L.A. now?
Well, you know, I've been married for 23 years, and I know that in relationships, I told you so's are never healthy or constructive. The thing about Los Angeles is this. It is always ready, willing, and able to stage the Olympic Games, and this would be a propitious moment for the United States Olympic Committee to do what it should have done back in January and come to Los Angeles. It's that simple and that obvious.
And so, I mean, is that what the USOC is likely to do? Because LA is, I mean, is the city that you keep telling us is ready to go? How quickly? I guess what I should ask is how quickly could the USOC now pivot and say LA is our city?
They could do it this afternoon if they wanted to. I think they just want to give themselves a little breather. There's a big IOC meeting in Kuala Lumpur at the end of the week. They want to go there, probably take the temperature of everybody. But the only city in the United States that's capable of doing this on 7 weeks' notice, which is the September 15th deadline, is Los Angeles. San Francisco doesn't have a stadium. Washington, D.C. doesn't have a stadium. Here we have a stadium that's Olympic-proven, not just once but twice, in 1932 and 1984, and the University of Southern California is going to renovate it for $600 million. That's not going to cost taxpayers even one penny.
Hmm. Well, that's Alan Abrahamson. He's a veteran Olympics reporter and founder of ThreeWireSports.com. He's speaking to us from L.A. Alan, stick with us for another minute or two. Kurt, I know we've got to let you go to keep doing some more reporting, but your latest thoughts from now as the news rolls on this afternoon.
Yeah, I think this is something that reporters saw coming for a long time. We definitely tried to give the picture that this was a troubled bid, that was a struggling bid. And I think this was about to go down a few weeks ago, but Boston 2024 bought itself some time by coming out with bid 2.0. It had a few weeks to try to move the numbers a little bit and just didn't. And I think one of the big reasons there is so much opposition here is you've got sort of on two levels. You've got people who are very educated and they've seen other cities and they know that just the promise of economic benefit from the Olympics is a very, nebulous thing. Hmm. And so there's that. And then there's just, a lot of people who are very distrustful of outsiders, of people around the world, and just want to run the city the way they want to. And the idea of partnering a city with these people around the world or with people, based in Colorado Springs to try to put something on, it just wasn't something that regular sort of rank-and-file Bostonians were really excited to do.
That's Kurt Nikisch, WBUR's business and technology reporter, giving us the latest on the USOC's decision to pull its support from Boston's Olympics bid. Kurt, thank you so much.
You got it.
And listeners, we're going to continue in just a moment. Once again, to recap this afternoon's breaking news, the USOC no longer supports Boston 2024. We have a statement from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, who says that while he strongly believes that bringing the Olympic Games would have been good for Boston, no benefit is so great that it is worth handing over the financial future of the city, and our citizens were rightly hesitant to be supportive as a result. We're speaking with Shira Springer, investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe. Shira, stick with us. Also, Alan Abrahamson, veteran Olympics reporter and founder of ThreeWireSports.com. He joins us from LA. Alan, stick with us as well. We're taking your calls. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. What do you make of the news? The Olympics are not coming to Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we are covering the breaking news this afternoon that the United States Olympic Committee is no longer supporting Boston's bid for the 2024 Olympic Games. We have a statement here from USOC CEO Scott Blackmon, who says that when Boston was selected in January of this year, we were excited about the possibility of partnering with Boston's great universities in a bid that would take advantage of existing college facilities and spur the development of much-needed sport, transportation, and residential infrastructure for the city of Boston. The cornerstone idea behind Boston's bid was sound, but of course, the USOC withdrew its support from Boston just this afternoon, saying, notwithstanding the promise of the original vision for the bid and the soundness of the plan developed under Steve Pagliuca, we have not been able to get a majority of the citizens of Boston to support hosting the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games. Therefore, the USOC does not think that the level of support enjoyed by Boston's bid would allow it to prevail over great bids from Paris, Rome, Hamburg, Budapest, or Toronto. If you're listening, send us your reaction to this news. You can send me a tweet at Radio Boston. You can also call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We've got a lot of great guests joining us this hour, but let's talk to Bostonians themselves. Dan is calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Dan.
Hi, how are you? This is Dan Hoffer. Thank you so much for having me on.
What's your thought, Dan?
So I work in politics in the city of Boston, and I know a lot of the folks from the No campaign that I've worked with in the past. And my question was, it seemed like the No campaign for the Olympics was very well organized, very well executed, and it came out strong very early. And it seemed to me that there was something else going on there because, just to have the Boston 2024 have all this money and staff and infrastructure is one thing, but have a No campaign that was so strong so early made me think that, in fact, there might be something else going on there. And I don't know if maybe it was like between the powers that be, you know, a higher level discussion about whether to have the Olympics or not. But for me and a lot of the people that I work with, it really raised some eyebrows that the No campaign was so on the ball and ready to go from day one.
Right.
I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Dan, thank you so much for your call. I mean, they were obviously very well organized. We had members of No Boston 2024 on our program a lot, so that possibly did have something to do with it. We've got a tweet here from Ben Weber who says, Boston better follow through on that $1 billion for MBTA investment now. And Gregory Kessler sends us a tweet saying, so the bid failed because Bostonians are xenophobic? Question mark? Who knows? Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Gloucester. You're on the air, Robert.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is Robert from Gloucester. But I have never been pro or con for the bid, but my thoughts primarily were that Boston is a somewhat iconoclastic environment, and the infrastructure for Boston to support an Olympic bid was almost impossible because of the driving, the commuting, the trains, the T, and so on, so that the Olympics, unless they brought, aside from the income, if there was a lot, from what I hear, there wasn't, aside from the income and the prestige, that they really would be very difficult to move hundreds of thousands of people in and out of the entire Olympic environment. And that bothered me the most about it because, in my opinion, which is formed from many years of commuting in the New York metropolitan area, Boston is not the most efficient commuting city in the country.
Right. So transportation was a major part of it. But as you know, you heard from the statement that I read from the USOC CEO, the close-knit nature of Greater Boston was one of the reasons why they initially thought the bid had great potential to it. Robert, thank you so much for your call. Shira Springer, you heard a couple voices there just now of reaction from Bostonians. I mean, what are you hearing in terms of how folks are reacting to this moment?
Well, I've heard generally positive reactions. I think people felt that the bid had become something of an albatross and a distraction for the city and its politicians. And I just wanted to comment on the caller who had talked about how well the No Boston Olympics campaign was organized. And I think that was a major, major factor. What was interesting to me was that Boston 2024 always said they wanted to be this sort of grassroots movement that gathered momentum and support for the Olympics, but it turned out that No Boston Olympics ended up being everything in some ways that Boston 2024 wanted to be in terms of gathering that grassroots support, and they really hit issues and emphasized issues that connected with people. And I think, you know, talking about what other people are saying in reaction to this news, part of the problem was that the way in which Boston 2024 tried to sell the bid never really connected with the population. Even with, you know, the version 2.0, there was still a lot of talk about money, 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 really in the weeds. And it wasn't about what can the Olympics do for me, how, you know, what will it mean to my tax bill, my bottom line. The bid really failed to connect on that personal level the way the No Boston campaign did. And it's a big lesson. I also think there's a big lesson for the USOC in this too, in terms of how it goes about vetting bidders and how it goes about courting cities in the future, because I think cities and the public need to be brought in much earlier in the process, much more in advance of when they actually name the U.S. candidate.
Right. Shira, hang on for a second. Alan Abrahamson, you're joining us from Los Angeles. You're a veteran Olympics reporter and founder of ThreeWireSports.com. React to what Shira just said, because the last time I talked to you, it was on the heels of, we had a conversation about the IOC and how it's trying to change, how it chooses, you know, the final city worldwide due to, you know, several major corruption scandals that have been going on in the past. But to Shira's point about the USOC, maybe this is a wake-up call for it to change or to rethink how it selects its U.S. nominee. What's your response to that?
I think that the USOC tried very hard to go through a process this time that was very unlike the process that selected Chicago and New York. They tried, and then things just fell apart at the very end with the selection of Boston. So I understand everyone's, what word should I use here, perplexity at how this process could have fallen apart. I do think that, you know, sunlight is always the best disinfectant, and probably some review of this process for the United States Olympic Committee would be a very sound idea.
Well, that's Alan Abrahamson, veteran Olympics reporter and founder of ThreeWireSports.com, speaking to us from Los Angeles. Alan, thanks so much for joining us today.
A pleasure as always.
And I'm seeing a tweet from Boston Globe columnist Shirley Leung, who says L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti has not talked to the USOC, but, quote, would be happy to engage in discussions on, quote, a most fiscally responsible bid. That reporting from Boston Globe columnist Shirley Leung on Twitter. Let's take a call here. Irfan is calling from Sharon. You're on the air.
Hi. So my basic comment was that this was a huge opportunity for Northeast to grab it by the horn and actually upgrade our infrastructure, but I think we missed out on it, and unfortunately Mayor actually falls to the popular whim about the constant capitalist calculation, which is how much money are we making and how much money are we losing. I think Olympic is greater than that, and we need to move past beyond that.
Irfan, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Andrew Zimbalist now, economics professor, at Smith College. He's been a vocal opponent of Boston's bid. He's also author of the book Circus Maximus. Professor Zimbalist, welcome back to the program. Andrew Zimbalist, are you with us? We'll try to get him back on the line. Shira Springer, we still got you. So give me your response to Irfan's comments. I mean, basically what Irfan was saying about the lost opportunity in terms of rebuilding infrastructure, rebuilding the MBTA, getting the kind of developments in housing that the city needs. That was one of the major arguments that supporters of the Olympics from Boston 2024 on down, including at one time at least, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, were making.
Yeah, I mean, that is, you know, for every city that looks at bidding for the Olympics, the catalytic effect, as they like to call it, is a very, very popular selling point. And it does indeed exist. I mean, you can look no further, perhaps, than London, that rebuilt its East End, or East London, with the 2012 London Olympics, and really took that opportunity to remake an entire section of the city. But my feeling is that you don't, yes, the Olympics come with a nice catalytic effect, but you don't necessarily need the Olympics to have a catalytic effect. You can generate that. Your leadership, your political leadership, can see through some of the products, and I hope they will see through some of the major infrastructure projects, particularly with the T, particularly with transportation infrastructure, that were on the board with the Olympic bid. There's no reason they can't find a way, figure out a plan. It may not happen before 2024 in its entirety, but there's no reason they can't pick some of the parts of version 2.0, the bid plan 2.0, and say, hey, you know what? This would be really great for our city. How can we figure out a way to redo this part of the T, or remake the tennis facility that they were going to do into a better tennis facility? Whatever the case may be, the infrastructure improvements, the city improvements that they were looking at, they can still do them. They just won't have the Olympics hanging over their head, number one, and they won't have the IOC dictating the terms and pace of those improvements.
That's Shira Springer, investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe, talking to us about the breaking news this afternoon that the USOC has pulled its support for Boston's bid for the 2024 Olympic Games effectively. It's dead. the Olympics are not coming to Boston in any way, shape, or form, even if the USOC had continued to support the games here. We've got a little bit of tape here from Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker saying he is not going to question any decision made by the United States Olympic Committee.
They have a process they need to pursue and a set of decisions that they need to make. Based on what I saw in the statement, one of their concerns was sort of the robust but fairly typical for us public debate that was going on with respect to the Olympics.
That's Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker a little earlier today. He was referring to a statement from the United States Olympic Committee in which it said the USOC does not think that the level of support enjoyed by Boston's bid would allow it to prevail over great bids from Paris, Rome, Hamburg, Budapest, or Toronto. Give us your response, 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. This has been a long and quarrelsome process here in Boston, and now it's over. The Olympics are not coming. What's your reaction? Let's go to Lowell. Derek's on the line. You're on the air, Derek. What's your thought today?
Hi, my name's Derek. I'm a local union organizer for the city of Lowell. I got a chance to meet with some of the gentlemen that put together this package, and I thought it was very solid. Part of the data that they showed me was that any Olympics that were held in the U.S. were profitable. Atlanta, L.A., they all made money. I don't see how that we were fearful that we weren't going to make money.
Mm. Derek, thank you so much for your call. There's a support there. There's a voice there sort of in mourning of the death of Boston 2024. Derek, thank you again from Lowell. Let's turn back now to Andrew Zimbalist, who's the economics professor at Smith College and author of Circus Maximus, the economic gamble behind hosting the Olympics and the World Cup. Professor Zimbalist, thank you so much for joining us. And just briefly, if you can, give us your response to today's news.
Well, I think that it was... It was coming for some time, and there were all sorts of issues that Boston 2024 had to deal with that they were not dealing with. And ultimately, my suspicion is that Governor Baker expressed an unwillingness to give a guarantee, or at least expressed severe reservations about it, which I think is the right call. The insurance package that Steve Pagliuca talked about was insufficient. They were going to depend upon record subsidies, tax subsidies for the developers in the Dead Circle and Columbia Point. If Boston wants to encourage more development, they can do that by offering subsidies on the order of $4, $5, $10 per square foot. The Dead Circle had a subsidy of over $250 per square foot. It just wasn't going to make sense. Mm. And I think the cards were already on the table. It was just a matter of time.
And Professor Zimbalist, hang on for just a second. I know we don't have you for a ton of time, but I do want to give Shira Springer of the Boston Globe a final thought here because we've got to let her go. Shira, you've been terrific. What's your last thought for today on this huge news day for us?
I don't mean to seem like a cheerleader for Boston, but I'm actually quite proud of the way the city conducted itself in the end with all of this because I think it was great to see the level of public engagement and interest in the Olympics, something I've covered now for a couple of decades almost. And I think that was wonderful to see that kind of discourse around these games. And they should be, not to sound too much like a cheerleader, like I said, but they should be proud of the fact that they debated this, that they forced USOC to look long and hard at this, that they forced the bid committee to look long and hard at what they were doing. And, you know, I think the right decision was made in the end.
Shira Springer is an investigative and enterprise reporter for the Boston Globe sports section. Shira, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
Andrew Zimbalist, let me turn back to you. I mean, we had a caller a little earlier this hour who said that he was, two callers, in fact, who said that they were very sad because as you were talking about the subsidies, they felt, and, you know, others as well have felt that the games were the things that were going to bring those subsidies about. Whether or not we actually wanted the Olympics games, they were the motivation, the catalyst that could have provided major change for Boston, and that's what they lament.
So one of the things that was left out of the Boston 2024 2.0 plan is the fact that when you increase the density in a city, you're also increasing the need for services. With that circle plan, although it was going to have 4,000 housing units, did not have a penny for preschool, for primary school, for middle school, or for high school. It didn't have a penny for environmental remediation. In fact, it didn't even have a penny for insurance that they were touting as such such an important part of their deal. And moreover, if we're going to increase the density, there's a transportation infrastructure that has to be improved, has to be enhanced. Eventually down the road, we're going to need new lanes on the Mass Pike and so on and so forth. So we have to be thoughtful and careful about the developments that we have. And those have to be planned. They can't just be something that accommodates the Olympics or accommodates one other particular thing. So I think that if we want development, fine, let's plan it, let's be careful, and then we can have it by offering tax subsidies per square foot of $5 to $10. We don't have to offer $250 per square foot.
Andrew Zimbalist, just a couple of days ago, literally just a couple of days ago, you were on a stage debating with Boston 2024 Steve Pagliuca about this very bid. Did any part of you have any kind of inkling that the end could have been so near?
Well, I thought that it was coming. I knew that Governor Baker was waiting for a plan or a study from the Brattle Group before he declared himself. But I also knew that the USOC had demanded an answer from the governor last week, last Friday, I think it was, or perhaps it was Saturday. So it was clear that this was coming to a head, but you know what? Would I have predicted it would happen today instead of in 5 days or in even 30 days? No, I couldn't have predicted that. I'd like to say also, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, to the caller just before I got on, who was asking about profitability of the Olympics, one has to understand that the Olympics, hosting the Olympics, has three different budgets. One budget is the operating budget, another is a venue budget, and another is the infrastructure budget. When you talk about profitability in Atlanta, and by the way, there are two numbers out there. One is that they're broke even on the operating budget. The other is a $10 million surplus, which is small. But they're talking about only one of the three budgets. Atlanta happened to have cost overruns of over 100%. Olympic Games are not profitable, and it's a misnomer, it's a misdirection to talk about that.
Andrew Zimbalist is economics professor at Smith College. He's author of the book Circus Maximus, The Economic Gamble Behind Hosting the Olympics and the World Cup. Professor Zimbalist, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the fact that the United States Olympic Committee just this afternoon withdrew its support for Boston's Olympic bid, meaning it's over, it's dead, no Olympics coming to Boston. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Want to hear your response to the end of Boston's Olympic bid? You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We've got a tweet here from Bruce Irving who says, "May this failed bid signal the dying influence of arrogant, wealthy white males who think they know everything." That's one thought from one Bostonian on the end of Boston 2024. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Give us a call. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking about the breaking news this afternoon that the United States Olympic Committee has withdrawn its support for Boston's bid for the 2024 Olympic Games. In a statement this afternoon from Scott Blackman, CEO of the USOC, he wrote that the USOC does not think that the level of support enjoyed by Boston's bid would allow it to prevail over great bids from Paris, Rome, Hamburg, Budapest, or Toronto. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh issued a statement as well saying that even though he strongly believed that bringing the Olympic Games back to the United States would be good for the country and would have brought long-term benefits to Boston, no benefit is so great that it is worth handing over the financial future of our city, and our citizens were rightly hesitant to be supportive as a result. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Malcolm's calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Malcolm. What's your reaction?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think this is the greatest news we could have gotten today. You know, we get to determine development on our own terms now, and there's definitely a lot of room for improvement in the city. I've lived in Boston and the area my entire life, but the last thing we need is a just terribly corrupt, huge organization dictating the terms for us. We get to do this on our own terms now. And I'd also like to say there's a lot of arguments that the Olympics were somehow going to make us a prominent international city in a new way, and we already are a prominent international city. We have the greatest universities, we have the Boston Marathon and the Head of the Charles, and great international events that happen here all the time. So I think that this is just the best thing that could have happened.
Malcolm, thank you so much for your call. Let's get a different view from Sal, who's calling from Medford. You're on the air, Sal.
Yeah, I could not disagree more. I mean, I see a kind of self-centered cynicism that says, you know, all these things that people talk about, the infrastructure and the process being something we can control. Look, you need motivation for something to happen. And what would be more of a motivation for us to improve these things we've been talking about endlessly for years, improving the T, improving the traffic, improving all these things that it's never going to happen unless we have the motivation of something as glorious as the Olympics. And here we've got all these factions fighting about how terrible it would be to have this incredible event happen in our city. It makes zero sense. I have kids. They looked at me and said, you know, 15-year-old kids, who's more self-centered than a 15-year-old? And they're telling me the Olympics would be an amazing thing to go see. I want it to happen here, and now it's gone because we're worried about, you know, losing
right.
a few dollars.
Sal, thank you so much for your call. Let's get yet another view from Chris, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. Chris, you're on the air.
Yes, I agree with Shira that I'm proud of the city. I'm proud of the residents. I happened to show up at meeting in Jamaica Plain in November, and it was the residents and people like Andrew Zimbalist who dedicated volunteer hours to doing the research. It was truth that got this out. It was asking for Freedom of Information Act requests. It was Tito Jackson and others subpoenaing bid 1.0, and that's where you see what the rest of us had figured out in December, that this is an Olympics is a fundamentally flawed proposal because it gives control of the city to an unelected, unaccountable group of elites.
Right.
And we saw through the glitter of sports. I love sports, but we saw through that was just a way to give control, as Steve Pagliuca, when he showed bid 2.0, this individual from a private group was showing us what our city would look like. He doesn't even live in Boston.
Chris, I'm sorry to jump in here on you. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we've got a lot of other people who want to get their two cents in there, but I thank you for your call. We are hearing an absolute diversity of opinion on the news today that the USOC is withdrawing its support from Boston 2024. All informed and all passionate, I have to say, this is the Boston that we live in. Let's go to John, who's calling from the South End. You're on the air, John. Hey, John, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your thought? Quickly.
I'm very disappointed. You know, Boston thinks of itself as a world-class city, and I think today we just proved ourselves to have a small town, small mentality. You know, we'll be riding around clickety-clack on the Green Line 15 years from now, and we could have had an opportunity to transform RT and the transportation system. It's a damn shame.
Let's go to Cambridge and talk to Simon, who's got a different view on that. Simon, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, thanks. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that in general, I do believe that we do need some sort of motivation to change Boston, but I think an unaccountable event like the Olympics that potentially put us all at risk for increasing the contribution we already have to the city, I think that would be unlogical or illogical to the least, as we already should be having the motivation to change and improve the city as it is.
Mm. Simon, thank you so much for your call. Let me just take one quick second here to turn to Doug Tribou. He's with NPR's Only a Game, and he's here with me in the studio. You hear him on Radio Boston as well at times. Doug, how did all this happen? What's your response? We got about a minute to go to wrap up here.
I think that things got ahead of themselves out of the gate. There was this sense that all of a sudden we're applying for the Olympics and people didn't feel like they had a handle on it. Some people, as you can hear in the callers, obviously wanted that, but other people were so taken aback by it that they didn't feel like there was a real process. And Boston loves its its democratic process. I think it just got out of the train station too fast for some people. And now, you know, there's some buzz that Toronto may enter the race, and I wonder if there'll be a sad moment if it's just a little bit north of the border if the Olympics go there in 2024.
Interesting point. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti also says he's ready to talk to the USOC if it's ready to talk to him. So we'll see what happens out west in California. But once again, just to wrap up this afternoon's big breaking news, that the United States Olympic Committee is no longer supporting Boston 2024. So the Olympics bid for our city is dead. We'll continue this coverage on All Things Considered as the afternoon progresses. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Thank you so much for joining us, and stay tuned to WBUR.